pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to listen to your word. May you speak to us this morning is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is a great day to remember. Amen? You don't want to forget this day. I want to write that date down. December 11, 2010. Very important day. When we go to school and the teachers tell us, remember there's a project due at the end of the month. Is that important? It's important. Remember that we have a test next week. Is that important? Very important. When our parents tell us, remember, take the trash out. Is that important? Yes, it's important. Because one day it's going to be your wife telling you that. And that's going to be very, very important. Yes. When God says, remember, is it important? It's very important. And he wants us to pay attention to what he says. In the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 4, this word, remember, appears. And it says, remember the law of Moses, my servant. Remember the law of Moses, my servant. This is the last chapter of the book of Malachi. Last three verses of the book of Malachi. And at that moment, it says, remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel. What was God trying to remind his people? You tell me. The law of Moses, which was which law? The Ten Commandments. It says, given on Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai. Something special happened. God came down in a cloud, called Moses, his servant, up to a mountain, and told him, Moses, I'm giving you my law. I'm giving you my covenant, one that I'm making with you and with all Israel. I want you to follow in my statutes. I want you to follow in these ordinances. So I want you to go with me to Exodus 20. And we want to look at this law which God says it is important to remember. Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to start with verse 1. Exodus 20, verse 1. And it begins by saying, then God spoke all these words, saying. The Ten Commandments are also known in Scripture as the Ten Words. And it starts by saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. If you were living back in the 15th century BC, kings would come to your city and they would make a covenant with the governor. And the king would start off by saying, I am so and so, king of the Hittites or king of Assyria. I have done this and this and this for you. They would describe who they were. And once they had described who they were, they would then put down the stipulations of the covenant that they wanted to make with the king, governor, or with the people of that nation. And here God begins his covenant by saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The stipulation follows. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember this word again. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in it, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This week I was studying this passage with another person who wants to get baptized. Amen? And as I was reading the Ten Commandments, I asked, what do you notice? Or what caught your attention? What did you see as important? And he said, you know, I noticed that the fourth commandment, the one that says, remember the Sabbath day, is the longest commandment of them all. I hadn't seen that before. But from all 10, it's the biggest one. It's the sign of God's people with him. Sign of his covenant with him. And it continues, honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. God told the people in Malachi's time, you will remember the law of Moses. Amen? And then, going there, we find that God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And it tells us why. Because in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. Amen? He is the God who created the heavens and the earth. He is the God who wants to make a covenant with you and with me. He wants to enter into a special relationship with each one of us. There's one more passage in the Bible that I want to point to you. And this is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. And I want to go there because the word remember also appears. It's a chapter that we invite all our young people to read carefully, to study. It's right after the book of Psalms and Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. And it says there, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. I want to let you know something today. Being a Christian is not easy. This decision that you've made today will bring difficulties. You'll have to make tough decisions in life. You'll have to stand for what is right. And you'll have to say, God, help me. Help me during this moment. The preacher in Ecclesiastes 12 tells young and mature to remember your Creator. Remember the one who made us. And this context of this verse, some of us have seen it as a young person looking ahead at old age and saying, wow, it gets difficult. Health-wise, it gets difficult. Work-wise, it gets difficult. But the context of this verse is something very different. And I want you to look at verse 6. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. Has anybody seen a silver cord broken or a golden bowl shattered? Anybody seen that? It's a picture of the great day of the Lord. This whole chapter is a description of what will happen in the great day of the Lord. A great and terrible day. And before that day, we are reminded to believe in our Creator. We are reminded to trust in Him. We are reminded to do His will. And verse 13 and 14 tell us something similar. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. Because God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Hasn't that been the message we've been hearing throughout this year? We've been studying the minor prophets. 12 little books, but 12 powerful books that repeat the same message. Fear God. Fear Him. Trust Him. Love your Creator. Do not follow the Baals of this world. Do not follow the idols of this world. Trust Him. Enter into a covenant relationship with Him. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 says, behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And what is he to do? Chapter 3, verse 1 tells us, behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. This morning during Sabbath school, we were studying about Elijah. His name means, my God is Yahweh. My God is the Creator. And he came to Israel in a time when they were following other gods. And he came saying, my God is the one who can stop those clouds from giving their rain. My God is the one who makes everything grow. And during 3 years, it didn't rain. There was drought in the land of Israel. But then God told Elijah, Elijah, go to Ahab and tell him to bring all the priests up to Mount Carmel. Another mountain. I want to show my people something. I want to let them know that I am the God who makes rain fall upon the earth, who makes things grow. In 1 Kings chapter 18, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30, we find Elijah on top of Mount Carmel, and we see the following words. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." So with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. And we know that they put the sacrifice on it, and they put water on it. And you know how much water was valued at that moment of great drought. And then, verse 36, it came about at the time of the offering, of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that thou, O Lord, art God, that thou hast turned their heart back again." Amen. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6 says, "And he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse." Elijah the prophet, did he come? He came. When Jesus first came, there was a person who went ahead of him, preparing the way. Do you know his name? John the Baptist. And what did he come doing? He came baptizing. That's why he was called John the Baptist. He came proclaiming a simple message. The message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And people came from all over to hear him and to be baptized, repenting, coming back to God, for his kingdom was near. Jesus came and was also baptized, setting an example to each one of us. And you know what message he proclaimed? The same message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Is that the message we proclaim today, brothers and sisters? Amen. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. That's the Advent message. Jesus is coming again. And he's looking for people to stand up like John the Baptist and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." The message of the prophets, of the minor prophets, of the major prophets is that: repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, also found in the last chapter of the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, commissioned each one of them to do something. And if you have your Bibles, open them with me to Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. And I read, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated." Do you think it's a coincidence that Jesus chose a mountain? It's not a coincidence. He chose a mountain. Verse 17, And when they saw him, they did what? They worshiped him. They worshiped the God who created the heavens and the earth. But it says that some were doubtful. Verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said the words of a king who wanted to make a covenant with his people. I am the one who has authority in heaven and on earth. And then he continues by giving a stipulation, a short stipulation, but an important one to all those who claim that they follow Jesus, to all those who claim that they are Christians. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Does that include the Ten Commandments? Does that include God's Word? Does that include love God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself? But he promises something too for all those who follow in his steps, for all those who make a decision to remember what he has said. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Even in the difficult moments that you will go through, Jesus has promised to be with each one of you. Amen? He's promised. He keeps his promise. Doesn't break it. He's faithful. And what he asks of us is to remember. Remember. Remember his goodness. Remember his love. Remember his sacrifice. Remember what he has done for you. And tell it. Share it with somebody else. Tell them about the great God who created the heavens and the earth. A God who is coming soon to meet with his people. A God who has said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I invite you to stand and to sing with me our hymn of dedication, Trust and Obey, hymn number 590. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil repay. Not a grief for a loss, Not a frown nor a cross, but it's blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust.